The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Welcome back. It is a Friday, which means it's time for the week trending. Well, look, Alan's still in here for Matt Cooper. We've got Sarah McGuinness, who's the assistant news editor of the Business Post, and Lorcan Nine, who's head of training at the Communications Clinic. Folks, very good evening to you.
Good evening.
Plenty of interesting stuff. I didn't think Liz Truss and lettuce was going to be there again when I saw it earlier. Again was what sprung to mind when I thought about the viral video. We will get to that. We will get to the ideas of the iconic paper bag, which is being charged by Brown Thomas. But Sarah, if we can kick off, because I know this is something that you've talked about previously with friends travelling away from home and those who aren't coming home, this new tax credit of €750, is it going to be enough to keep young people in the country or to maybe bring some of them back?
Oh, Jesus. Absolutely not. What the hell? So for anyone who hasn't heard, apparently Peter Burke, the Fine Gael Minister for Enterprise, in his formal budget submission has put in a proposal for a €750 tax credit for young people aged 25 and under. Very X factor of him, young people being under the age of 25. But anyway, in a bid to stop the loss of young Irish talent, and it would be at a kind of combined cost of €100 million to the Exchequer as a whole. And there are obviously many problems with this. Firstly, €750 is a bit of a paltry sum, and I don't think that one demographic should be thrown a bone like that for the sake of it. Like, I wouldn't feel comfortable getting a €750 tax credit that could be going to something that is like to someone who needs it more, like maybe someone who needs it in their pension or something like that. I think it's just a really kind of thoughtless measure. Also, young people have been terrible at taking up the renter's tax credit of the same sum. So
it's not because it's difficult to take up or they don't want to take it up.
There's a lot in it. There's not really a lot of education around it, but also it's like a lot of people don't really want to go to their landlord and say that. A lot of people might be living off the lease. So like that hasn't gone down as well as I think the government thought it would as a renter support. And also like it's just another example of throwing money at a problem and not really targeting anything to do with it. Like, it's also a stupid measure, like €100 million, you know, Peter Burke like suggests €100 million for like housing to like help like say people, young people trying to get jobs in Dublin, you know, like if he helped like a smaller cohort and gave them more money, that is a way better headline than trying to like splash this great sum across a broad cohort of people who realistically aren't going to care about it anyway. They're off, you know, €750 is 1 month's rent. Like whoop-de-doo, they're not going to get it for a whole other year. It's not going to stop anything. And yeah, I think it's just an example of like stupid spending of public finances.
What do you reckon, Lorcan? I mean, 750 free money, election looming. I bet when they sat down and thought about this, they thought this is going to be a winner. Under 25s, we got their vote.
Yeah, and a huge voting core that it is. Look, it wouldn't work if it came in. It is not going to happen. And they've admitted themselves it was never going to happen. It was a balloon to be floated as an idea, but it was such a stupid balloon to float because all it does is actively annoy the people it's supposed to bring in because it's such a tangible, easy contrast. And you say, you'll give us 750. You'll actually verbalise that you think this will help us stay or help us come back. And I can easily contrast it with my rent when 70% of that cohort, if not higher, are living at home with their parents, so they can't even see the rents that is coming in. Their car insurance, which is significantly higher than that. Mm. It's just such an easy contrast. So it's such a bad own goal. It's poking the bear. And also, it's identifying the wrong problem. Because, I mean, on a macro level, people will leave Ireland. We're now, you know, where we're used to leaving. Those immigrants tend to boomerang back. What we need to stop is specific professions leaving, specific professions qualifying and leaving. We don't have enough teachers, we don't have enough nurses. So it needs to be targeted. And they knew it was never going to happen. So they thought it was kind of a good idea as a symbolic gesture that we'll try to make this happen and we'll be stopped. But even as a symbolic gesture, God, it was the wrong idea.
It was the wrong idea. Like, okay, maybe this is just in the circles I'm in, but Fine Gael already kind of has this perception of like your wealthy uncle at Christmas who is kind of like thinks they're helping you out, like they're like, there's a few bob, but like actually you just feel so humiliated because you're like, oh my God, like this is so like just painful for everyone involved. And like I think this gesture just kind of personifies that.
Do you not appreciate that bit of cash from the uncle at Christmas?
Oh, don't get me wrong.
Where you do the kind
wrong
of, you know, the sly handshake and go, I shouldn't really be accepting this, but
if any of my Christmas uncles are listening, I take it back. I really appreciate it.
I think 750 is the threshold if they're giving you a bit of cash at Christmas. So I think that idea has been firmly shot down in that balloon. Choose Roscommon. Why are we choosing Roscommon, Sarah?
Because Ben Finnegan's from there.
I don't know if that's a strong enough campaign, but he can front it by all means.
He could. He could be the poster boy for it. Roscommon have launched this initiative to basically kind of show all that the county has to offer and to entice people to move there. They're like highlighting kind of like a wellness balance, like beautiful scenery, like affordable housing, all that type of thing. And the kind of overarching message is, come here, we're brilliant. And do you know what? Like, I was kind of looking at it and, you know, I was like, it's kind of nice to see, I suppose, at this time where a lot of rural communities are really feeling the strain of many crises at the minute, you know, like the cost of doing businesses, a lot of businesses are closing. There's obviously a lot of kind of tensions around new people coming into communities, particularly if they're not from Ireland themselves. And then their younger populations leaving for bigger cities. So they kind of make the good point that I don't know how true it is right now, but that like a lot of people can get away with remote working. So therefore, why not come out here, have the quiet life, and like you can still like keep your plush whatever job in Cork, Dublin, Galway, Limerick, whatever you're having. I think it's nice to see kind of like a rural community say like, our door's wide open, come on in.
Are you so lurking? I mean, you're on the footsteps of Athlone on one side of the county. You've got Galway not that far away. If you can remote work, it's going to be a lot less expensive than living in one of the bigger cities.
On a train line as well, so the train stop there. It did lead me to do the thing that if you live in Dublin, you should never, ever do, which is look at a different county on Daft and look at the house and the price houses that are there. Very quickly, when you type Roscommon into Daft, there is this house that appears up that is on a river, so it looks like it's on its own island. It has its own abandoned mill next to it, and it is significantly cheaper than a two-bed apartment anywhere in Dublin. So nobody do it. If you live in a city, do not look up the houses there because you would be filled with envy. That being said, I am not going to choose Roscommon, so I probably can't be too envious. I also realised I know absolutely nothing about Roscommon when it popped up. I realised I have absolutely no facts about the county. I know absolutely nothing about it.
Well, you knew the train stopped there.
I looked it up.
Ooh, I don't know. He's not sold, sir.
He's not sold. To be fair, I can't say that I am going to uproot my life and move to Roscommon. But you know what? I think it's lovely to see a bit of county pride. And one thing I would say, though, is like if the kind of message didn't include anything to do with like really kind of practical, boring things, like we have these many GPs per 100 people, we have these many like school teachers per 100 people. A bit more of the fine print would probably be better in convincing people who are actually struggling to live in cities and struggling to like get the facilities that they want. But as a whole, the idea is nice.
Yeah, fundamentally, think about it. Actually, it is the future. It is the way we should be moving towards. I mean, we are oversaturated in certain areas and totally underdeveloped and underrepresented and underpopulated in parishes that really mean a lot to the people who are there. So I mean, I think fundamentally it's a really good idea by the people running this campaign, and it's probably an idea that probably should get a bit more kind of fundamental support around it, that we should depopulate the city centres, particularly if you're only working in, let's say you're working in Dublin, you know, 2 days a week. I mean, you probably would do the train for 2 hours each way from Houston to Roscommon. You know, even if it is 2 days, because to get the 5 days in the countryside, if that's the life that you want. So I think it is something that people maybe should start thinking about. But there's then, Roscommon has, you know, a number of listeners staff, not that many. It's not like there's loads of houses everywhere else either. So that's part of the issue as well, is like we're not flush with housing anywhere in the country. It's not just a city problem.
Yeah. No, as someone who commutes from the countryside into the city, it can be done, but it would be a lot more helpful if you working from home a couple of days a week. We might talk about celebrities becoming politicians. Lorcan, you may well end up having to work with some of these people soon. So you're the perfect person to kick this next one off. Which the idea of non-politicians becoming politicians ahead of the general election. So we had some people with really no political background, but with a profile. I'm thinking of Nina Carberry getting elected, and also maybe Ciara Mullooly getting elected at the European elections, whereby they stood and had a name value to the parties that they were joining. That could well be the case with some other people. I mean, Gráinne Shoghi has already said that she wants to be considered for a Fianna Fáil nomination for the election in Galway. And Dáil Éireann Sé said he's not ruling himself out from potentially running as well. Is this a trend we're increasingly going to see?
I think it's a trend that we've probably always seen, to be honest. You know, there's always been an element of people with public profile, whether it be the GAA player or whether we've had, you know, previous media personalities, be it George Lee, be it Maria McGuinness, who's now an EU commissioner. You know, she was an RT presenter beforehand. So it's not a new trend. I was on something recently, and I was talking about celebrity endorsements in US politics, and we did make the point that we don't really get celebrity endorsements here because they just run themselves, be it for Europe or be it at all because of the local politics here. So look, I don't really have any problem with it. So I mean, if we take the most recent story, if you take Grainne Shorga looking to run for Fianna Fáil, looking for a nomination, she's going through those processes. I mean, we have lots of kind of TDs who are known for one issue or two issues. There are very few voices in Ireland who are more credible on the Irish language or on Irish culture in that way than Grainne Shorga is. So I think it's absolutely fine. She's very credible on that issue. Also, I'm not sure if there's, you know, we've had a lot of TDs who've, you know, they've been a councillor for a number of years, and that's all basically they've done, and then they've become a TD because they went off through the party. If that's credible, then I think coming from a broadcast background and Irish language background is also credible. So I don't think there's anything particularly wrong with it. She's going to go through the process. She's going to put herself before the people, and then we'll see. Historically, it has been easier to get elected because of your profile to Europe than it has been to the Dáil. People have a slightly different standard, a different viewpoint when it comes to the Dáil than it comes to Europe. Maria McGuinness ran for the Dáil, didn't get it, even though she'd already been in Europe. So it tends to be a higher hill to climb for celebrities. They have to prove that they will do the local work, that they'll do the local representation. So that's yet to be seen.
Yeah, so that's the argument, Sarah, that when you go for Europe, potentially, the issue is going to be very different to parish pump politics. While you're probably more likely to face the, well, what have you done for the area previously? Or are you just coming in to try and get into the Dáil? Then maybe it would be if you're going for Europe.
Yeah, this is true. And also, you're kind of tucked away in Brussels a lot of the time. Like, you're shielded from, I suppose, people's actual opinions of you. Whereas, you know, like, you have to do a certain amount of constituency work if you are elected to one. So, like, as you said, like, it's kind of made very clear to you if you're doing a terrible job. And I think it's also a little bit harder because people kind of have an opinion on you anyway. You have the benefit of your name being recognised, but you also have the kind of challenge of, well, if people don't like that name, you're kind of snookered. But, you know, in Grainne's case, the Fianna Fáil party always kind of run a candidate in the Connemara region. That's where Eamon O'Queeve was really popular. So, like, she would be quite a natural fit in there. As Lorcan said, she is an expert on the Irish language and she has been a great advocate for it. So, like, that's something that I'm sure that constituency would really value in a public representative. So by the sounds of it, she has a pretty good chance.
Yeah, well, particularly I think if she gets an endorsement with Eamon O'Queeve on the way out ahead of the next election, if he was to say, this is my successor and here's where I want the votes to go, Grainne Shorga has that name value and she'll be hoping to build on that.
Yeah, and I mean, it demands media attention, it demands headlines, it will demand local interest. People will want to talk to her on the canvas, they'll want to be, you know. So, I mean, I would have thought you are starting with a bit of a head start there, because it's not just that she is known, linked to the Irish language. She's already linked to an issue that people will care about, rather than just being known as, oh, the person off the telly. It's the person off the telly who speaks Irish. And that does help. And she'll have to get through the local selection convention. Local selection conventions, in some ways, are harder than general elections. You know, they're much smaller, but they can be much harder. And there will be local candidates there who've kind of done the groundwork, who've been councillors on the ground, who'll have the members, who'll have their supporters. So, you know, it'll actually be interesting to watch that. I think if she gets through that, she probably has the seat. Yeah. But would she get through that? Who knows?
I didn't think breakdancing in the Olympics would still have life 7 days on, but here we are. Australian breakdancer Rachel Ray being her Christian name and surname, she's been breaking her silence the last 24 hours or so on social media. It's after a performance which went viral. It's been memed. You've definitely seen her in memes over the last week or so. She scored 0 points at the Olympics. This is what Raygun had to say.
I just want to start by thanking all the people who have supported me. I really appreciate. Hi everyone, Raygun here. I just want to start by thanking all the people who have supported me. I really appreciate the positivity, and I'm glad I was able to bring some joy into your lives. That's what I hoped. I didn't realise that would also open the door to so much hate, which has frankly been pretty devastating. While I went out there and I had fun, I did take it very seriously. I worked my butt off preparing for the Olympics. and I gave my all, truly. I'm honoured to have been a part of the Australian Olympic team and to be part of breaking's Olympic debut. What the other athletes have achieved has just been phenomenal.
Sorry, I found this a bit sad when I saw the video go up, because originally I thought the memes were funny. It was a bit of crack last week. I saw her on the Jimmy Fallon show, so I kind of thought that maybe she was leaning into this ever so slightly as well. And then you hear the impact of some of the social media hate she's taken over the last week has had on her.
Yeah, like, and she does sound so upset. And, like, I suppose as well, something like the Olympics and something like the breakdancing category that is kind of in its infancy, like, you don't really expect, it's not like you're signing up for the, like, 100 metres male sprint, you know, like, you're signing up for something that, like, really in the grand scheme of things, not a lot of people are going to, like, have massive stake in. So, yeah, the fact that people are, like, really, really being truly horrible to her is awful. I don't want to say anything mean about her now because she's gotten enough of it, but, like, it truly was, like, a hilarious moment in the Olympics. But I think, like, you know, generally this year Olympics has been pretty uplifting, and I kind of thought that it was all being taken in the spirit of kind of, oh God, remember that? That's so funny, particularly now that, like, the breakdancing isn't returning to LA in 2028. So I thought we could all look at it as, like, a very hilarious moment in time and a mixed bag of competitors. But yeah, God love her. And, like, this kind of actually, like, it went really far. There was this petition calling for her to apologize for doing her best at the Olympics, basically saying that...
Apologizing to who? To the people of Australia?
To be fair, some of it, like, some of the movements you kind of would roll your eyes at if you were Australian, like the feigning to be a kangaroo. It's not how you want your country represented on a world stage, particularly when everyone else seems to be taking it incredibly seriously, which I know she was, but, like, they were demonstrating more skill and possibly to a higher standard. But yeah, like, calling her for, like, just like, kind of shaming her in that regard for doing her best, like, it's not really on her head that, like, you know, that happened. She probably could have stopped it. But anyway, yeah, just it's kind of disappointing. And the Olympics Committee in Australia had to kind of weigh in and say, like, can we all, like, just take stock for a minute and, like, leave this poor woman alone?
Yeah, I hope, Lorcan, she can cash in on this. I know she had the Jimmy Fallon appearance. That would have been, you know, flown over to the States and having a bit of fun around that as well. I presume if there's a book to be had or interviews to be had, now is the time to probably cash in on it. But it is one of those strange things, because you hear Eminem being played at the Olympics and it feels kind of really strange towards the Olympic movement. In a way, breakdancing in LA would have made perfect sense.
Yeah, and no, it's not going to be in LA. Therefore, yeah, I might have aligned time-wise and culturally a bit better. Yeah, look, I think you have to feel sorry for it. I think anybody who gets in the eye of a storm like that, particularly if they're not used to it, if they're not ready for it, if they become that kind of main character of the internet for a couple of days, I mean, it must be incredibly difficult. Also, I mean, look, she was objectively very, very not good at breakdancing, okay? Yeah. I think without any eye, I think you can say that. But she also did obviously take it seriously. She obviously did think she was relatively good. It's her whole life. It's her career. She's academically a PhD researcher into the breakdancing movement.
Actually?
That's what she does.
Going back to that now,
so,
yeah.
I mean, imagine the hit on you that what you are now known for is kind of a comic actor within an area you take
her,
very seriously. So generally I do, and you need to remember these people are human. I did think that it was a nice difference. You know, I spend my time watching the Olympics, and you watch diving or something you know nothing about, and somebody does a dive and you think that's the most incredible thing I've ever seen, and then the commentator goes, oh, they messed that up there.
6.2.
Oh, that was very poor. They'll be very disappointed with that. So I thought it was nice to look at the breakdance, like me thinking that objectively looks quite bad, and the commentator saying that wasn't great. It wasn't necessarily up there. So I finally had an eye for something in the Olympics. But genuinely, I do feel sorry for her. I do hope she's getting the support. I think if anything, like when your professional ego is that attached to somebody and to have the entire world mocking it must be incredibly devastating for her. And I do think it's one of these internet things. There was this survey going around, or people, a petition going around that was basically saying she had cheated her way onto the team, that she had made up an organisation, that her coach, who was the husband, was involved. And it turned out to be all absolute nonsense. Mm. So people kind of felt free to criticise her because they felt that she had cheated her way there. She hadn't. There's just not that many people who professionally break down trans in Australia who can afford to go to the qualifying tournaments. There's only about 400 people, apparently, who compete in this. A lot of them don't want to be involved in the Olympics. The pool is just so small that she qualified and qualified on her own merits. That's probably an issue with how niche the sport is, and maybe cut her a bit of slack. She could have done without the kangaroo, although apparently she did win one of the bouts under the score of originality. So the only thing she won was originality. So
there you go.
There we go.
I mean, you know, 0 points in other parts, but, you know, won that one. And because I sold this and said we do it, I wasn't sure, Sarah, if the tick fit had been rude for another season when I heard this Liz Truss story. So it was a lettuce-themed banner prank at an event that she was speaking at has been described as not funny by Liz Truss. And according to the former Prime Minister, she has also accused the far-left activists of attempting to suppress free speech. So the lettuce has come back to haunt her again.
The lettuce has come back to haunt her. And this is actually something that I don't feel bad about laughing at because it is also objectively hilarious. And yeah, so she was speaking, she was promoting her book tour after, and she's still probably quite raw. You know, she didn't get elected in the last election. It's a bit embarrassing. She only was in office for 49 days. You know, she had a pretty public fall from grace and I suppose wants to leave that behind her while she's promoting her own book. But yeah, this group led by Donkeys, who have, by the way, not shied away from claiming this, like they're absolutely delighted.
Oh, they've taken a scalper, yeah.
Yeah, they're like, I think they're like a group of pranksters or something. But anyway, they it wasn't even that big a banner, but they like, as she was saying how she thinks that Donald Trump will win the next US general election because the people of America feel super hard done by, this great big picture of lettuce flash on the screen with the words, I crashed the economy. Which, not totally, like maybe a bit strong, but like she certainly had a good go of it anyway. So yeah, she like, and then she kind of, she didn't really know what was going on. She looked behind her, she saw it, people kind of started laughing and she stormed off stage. Mm. She said, that's not funny. And she stormed off stage. And I think like if she had just laughed it off and been the bigger person, you know, like people would have reacted better to her reaction. But then she kind of said like, if this was far right activists, everyone would be enraged. And she accused them of trying to muffles free speech, which I don't really get her argument on that one because, you know, like they didn't say she couldn't talk. They just said that she crashed the economy. So, anyway, her past coming back to haunt her and another kind of win, I suppose, for the Sun in the UK for the cleverest campaign of all time.
The message is always laugh it off, folks. Thanks a million.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30.